Hi everyone, it's Elaine Hamilton from the Reiki Center, and I am here with Fiona Coe.
Hey.
And she's one of my, we were just talking about this before we started the record, and you graduated in 2011, right? Reiki Master Teacher. Wow. When I was still very fresh training, and remember, we were so nervous. I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. And you were like, you better know what you're doing.
Well, yeah, it was the days when it was one-on-one.
It's gone back to that, you know. I do one-on-one now pretty much because it's
Oh.
online. So people from different countries, so we can't always coordinate. So I've gone back to the same format that you and I trained with,
Wow, full circle.
which is kind of nice actually, because you build a really lovely relationship, right? So
Definitely.
2011, and even before that, so give us a bit of a like a little journey, a little track us through, first of all, because I know you come from a very successful corporate background. So, and you're still in that, right?
Yep, I still am.
Yeah. So it's kind of like, what drew your interest into doing Reiki, and how, it might be interesting, like, how have you balanced it? Because honestly, so many people struggle with that balance, but somehow you've managed to do it.
Okay, what drew me to Reiki? Well, it was because I was in such a terrible physical state. I was going through my early midlife crisis in my 30s,
That's
and
very early.
I know, right? But after studying numerology, I realized that it was the time when everything was actually a time for brewing. So that's another story. But yeah, I had irritable bowel syndrome, I had migraine attacks. And my right knee was always giving way. So I was the VIP at the clinic. I was there popping pills every week. And I thought, oh my gosh, if I continue this way, by the time I'm 50 or 60, I'll be a drug addict, right? So I thought there must be a healthier way to manage this. And that's when I Googled Reiki. It was a time when it wasn't so prevalent, not like what we have not right now. So your name popped up, and it was amazing because the timing really fit what I could actually take classes for because I had to apply for leave and things like that. So yeah, that was the start of my Reiki journey. And you always talk about the iceberg, how when things are at the surface, it starts to get solved more quickly. So the migraine and the irritable bowel syndrome just started to dissolve, and I've never had an attack since I learned Reiki.
Wow. That's really
So
amazing, isn't it?
it is. So it was like, whoa, this really works, because it was so bad. I was on Kaffegut shots. I had to have caffeine shots just to survive the migraine attacks. It was really, really bad. So to not be able, I mean, or rather to able to function without drugs and not have a migraine attack was such a blessing at that time. Especially since I had to look after my two kids who were below 5 years old and I didn't have a helper. So it was like when I'm out of action, that's it. I had to rally help from my parents, from William, my husband.
So I can see why you took the journey through with Reiki, because obviously it had such a big impact. So what kind of made you want to train as a Reiki teacher though?
Actually, that wasn't on the cards, to be honest. It just was a natural unfolding for myself. I remember thinking that, whoa, if this works in such a short time, it's so effective. Let's see what level two brings. So it was more curiosity and more that discovery of, peeling the layers of the onion for myself, to be honest. And when I went into Reiki 2, the symbols were mind-blowing for me. I used it every single day. Okay, Reiki my cars. I would do it for my workshop space. I would do it for everything. Because for me, being a corporate trainer, I have to deal with so many clients and different places. So I like that energetic space to be clean. And I find that the symbols really, really help. So yeah, I was traveling a lot also for corporate training. So I would Reiki the plane, Reiki every single thing. You know, my hands were just going and going and going.
I love it.
Well, up to today, I still Reiki everything.
Why wouldn't you? It's like it works, so why not?
Exactly, exactly. Yeah, so Reiki 2 really got me even more curious, and I started to look inward because the physical stuff was just the tip of the iceberg. But now that my health was better, I started to look at Reiki and the symbols from a more spiritual level. Yeah.
This right? seems to happen a lot. Like when I'm talking to teachers and their journey, but also just like normal students who have this journey, it's like oftentimes Reiki 1 will draw us in because of the physical, or even like for me, it wasn't so much physical. It was more the mental aspects because I had insomnia and I had a lot of stress and worry. But it's almost like that kind of very, if I can say, the more physical or body ailments, right? Mm. And like if you talk about the onion layers, they're the top onion layers. And then as we peel those back, then for most of us, when we stick around with Reiki, it becomes a deeply spiritual journey after that, right?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I mean, I was still going through my midlife crisis, so it went slightly deeper into who am I? You know, what's my purpose in this lifetime? And although I was doing really well in the banking sector, I didn't feel fulfilled. Yeah. So that's when I quit being in the banking sector and went full-time into corporate training on my own. Yeah. Mm. As an associate, you know, doing freelance. And it was so scary because I don't have a regular paycheck every month, right? Yeah. But I chose that lifestyle because I wanted to also spend time healing myself, going into other healing modalities.
Yeah.
So one thing I must credit Reiki for is that it started to open doors for other healing modalities to come my way.
Beautiful. Yeah. Beautiful. Yeah. Actually, it's funny. I was just talking to a couple of people about that this morning and how like with the Reiki, it's almost like this foundational baseline. And then from there, it very gently nudges you into different, try this, try that. And so oftentimes we can build these amazing layers on top.
Exactly.
Yeah. So talk about what modalities did you get interested in?
So, well, then I got deeper into how crystals could actually help me. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because Reiki is very active. I find it active as in my hands have to be there. I've got to, you know, do something with it. But I'm a bit lazy. So I also like the fact that crystals, you know, I just wear it, I carry it around and it's working.
I love that. I've never heard of that before, but it's really true. Yeah, you get the crystal, you stick it in the corner of the room, it's like, bah, done.
Exactly. I just put it in my pocket, I lie on it, I put it on my body, and then like, okay, done. You know? So I've got that active bit, which is the Reiki, and I've got the inactive bit, which are the crystals. Brilliant. So it was a perfect combination, and I still use both today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. And I started getting into Kundalini yoga. So that also started a deeper journey into my spiritual path. Yeah. So I do all three right now.
Yeah. Amazing. Amazing. It's interesting with the Kundalini yoga, because, well, as you know, I'm a big fan of it as well. And it's almost like it brings in a certain physical element to your healing balance, if you think about all the different elements you need. But also the wonderful thing with Kundalini yoga is it has such a powerful, like the chanting and the the Kriyas, they just have such a profound focusing in on that attunement, right? It's a different form of attunement, but Kundalini yoga is remarkably similar to Reiki on a more physical level. It's a different activity, but it's a similar kind of focus in on that.
Yes, I totally agree with you. So like, for example, when we chant the Adi Mantra, which is to open the session, the moment I do Ong, oh my gosh, my hands all get warmed up. You know, it's like, boom, the furnace is switched on.
Yeah, it's incredible, yeah. Isn't it? And the way that I remember sitting there, and when I was doing my KY teacher training and just listening to the definition of attunement and the definition of a Kundalini yoga teacher and the golden chain. And I was like, oh my God, this is exactly the same as a Reiki lineage. And it just, I learned more about holding space as a Reiki teacher whilst going through the Kundalini yoga teacher training. Cause they talk about how to hold space and how to hold your lineage much better than I was trained in my Reiki lineage, actually.
Yeah. So yeah, a lot of similarities.
Mm.
So I find that all these three are my mainstay now. They actually are what I do every day. So it has helped me through the ups and downs, helped me through all the different phases of my life.
Mm.
Yeah. So it's really, really good. And now that I'm getting into perimenopause, you know, the Reiki and Kundalini yoga and crystals have really helped me tide over this change that I'm going through. Yeah, the waves of change.
I know. Yeah, proper middle age. Well, I suppose this is like moving into the golden age, I guess, isn't it, really? Our full feminine wisdom.
yeah. And that's where, you know, Reiki never ceases to amaze me, because it's really, really, at every phase in your life, you are still growing, you are still evolving. Yeah. And it's nice knowing that I have a modality to come back to when I'm troubled, when my family needs it, or for me to just spread Reiki to other people when I conduct Reiki classes.
Yeah.
And I see that pattern repeated in everybody, be it physical, emotional, or mental.
Mm.
And we're all going through all these changes, maybe at a different pace, or the starting place might not be physical, it could be mental, emotional, but all three do come in.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And however that comes. Yeah. And then as you peel it back, it gets, like you say, deeper. And then eventually, when you've peeled back the physical, mental, emotional, then that deep yearning for understanding, exactly like you said, like, who am I and what am I here for and what's happening, really? That truth of our inner truth becomes more and more interesting, right? And we get more and more focused on that rather than the external aches and pains and mental stuff going on.
Exactly. Mm. And that's why whenever I prepare students to go into Reiki 3, you know, just like the little medication label, do not operate when consuming. Do not operate heavy machinery when consuming. I tell them, please make sure that you're kind to yourself, you know, a few weeks after, and start to see what evolves. Because yeah, you think that your life is fine, and then you go through Reiki 3 and boom, you know, it's like a roller coaster. Things really, really move energetically.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I always say, well, you can't really hide behind anything anymore. So things that you might have been like a little bit of denial, oh, it's fine. I don't have to change this, or I don't have to change that, or I don't have to face this or that. Then after Reiki 3, it's like, you're facing it right now.
Yeah, exactly. So that's why I feel that, you know, as a Reiki teacher, teaching the class is easy. It's the holding of space that's the challenge.
Mm.
Yeah, because...
Okay, so this is interesting, because the holding of space is one of these things that we throw around as a term right? Yeah. To hold space. But what does that mean to you? Like when you say it's easy to teach, but not so difficult, but more difficult to hold space.
Yeah, because I would say the workshop is an event. So after 2 days, it's done. But that's the start of the journey for your student. So you've got to hold space because you don't know what comes up for them, right? Yeah. And I think, you know, that's why I constantly have that chat group with them, or I get them to actually have this kind of a support system, because that's where they get wisdom, not only from me, but from the group. And they share what they're going through, or they see similarities, like, oh yeah, that happened to me also, or this, you know. And it's nice that, you know, we co-share that space and we hold it for each other, because let's face it, I don't have the answers all by myself, right? And it's lovely to see how the peer group sometimes help each other discover answers themselves.
Yes.
But my job is just to be that container for all of them to dissect or analyze or just experience whatever that needs to come up.
Yeah.
So for me, that's the holding space.
Yeah, nice. Nice. And I think actually often as a new teacher or somebody new to holding space, we sometimes get confused and we think that we need to know all the answers, or we need to somehow direct. And there's a big difference between directing and holding. Like holding, like you say, is literally just opening the container. So it's like you're the one that sets up the chat group, or you're the one that calls the meeting, or you're the one that kind of opens the opportunity for the sharing, but yeah. You are not the ultimate leader or guide of it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And I would say that, especially at Reiki level 3 and the teachers, we are all now the same. We're all peers in that sense, because they can do heart attunements. They can, you know, and some of them are even better than me. I've got students who actually do practice self-Reiki morning and night. Okay.
Impressive.
I know, right? And I'm like, oh, wow. Count out to you.
Yeah, right. And that is the thing. It's like that thing of, well, once Reiki starts to flow or open in somebody else, then the way that it expresses out of that person is so unique.
Mm.
Right. And so it's not really for us to say as teachers, even if we're their teachers, is to say, oh, well, this is the right way to do it, or that's the right way to do it, because that might not be the way it's expressing through them. And
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah. And, you know, some just want to use Reiki for their pets or their kids. Yeah. So, yeah, it could not be maybe for the self, but, you know, there's some just who want Reiki for themselves and nobody else. So as long as they find Reiki serves a purpose in their life, I'm happy.
Yeah. Yeah. So how have you managed to balance? Because you are very active now, because you're teaching Reiki. Are you doing Kundalini yoga? Because you've just opened your space last year, yeah. Right? So how's that
this
going?
This year.
Oh my God. Yeah. I was there in March, right? Oh, wow.
Yeah.
How's that going?
So opening of my space, Holistic Quarters, has been a dream come true. I mean, I planted that seed many, many, many years ago, but I guess the right time and the right people. I've got two other partners, so it is nice sharing everything together with two other people. Yeah. I don't feel, yeah. And three of us actually have corporate jobs. So this is really our passion project.
Oh, yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah, and we also all share Reiki and Kundalini yoga. That's a common theme. Yeah, so that's nice having, you know, some kind of foundation that holds us all together. So balancing it, I would say, yes, I do teach Kundalini yoga at least once a week, if not twice. And then other days, I do my corporate training still.
Yeah.
And then I still practice my own Reiki and Kundalini yoga. So I make use of time. Whenever I have to commute to class or any workshop in the taxi, I'm...
Nice. So any downtime is Reiki time.
Yeah, why not, right?
Yeah,
so 15 amazing. Minutes here, 15 minutes there, you know, that's already like, okay, 1-2 hours, that's good.
Yeah, beautiful. So in terms of your experience with Reiki, like, how would you say, because obviously it's had a powerful impact on you right from the beginning, you had these amazing results. And how do you feel it's working through you now? Like, has your relationship with Reiki changed over the years?
Yes and no. Okay. Why I say it hasn't changed is because when I found out there were other branches of Reiki, I have never been interested to learn about it. Yeah. I always like the traditional branch.
Okay? Yeah.
And for me, that traditional Sui Shiki Ryoho was the one that sat so nicely with me. I didn't feel the need to explore, you know, the other types of Reiki branches.
Mm.
Okay. And I still believe in all the attunements because all my students have such great experiences from the attunements.
Yeah.
And I remember mine so vividly, and I wouldn't want to take away that kind of experience from anybody. So I still do the traditional attunements.
Mm.
Yeah, because I mean, I just had a class recently and it was so amazing how, you know, how people saw colors, or one lady, she just sat there and she cried and she was like, and it was tears of like finding herself again.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, so nice, you know, just from one attunement. Yeah. So
yeah.
For me, that has been the thing that I have never changed.
Mm.
Okay. So what has changed is that I do less of the labels. I find that I don't have a need to send labels as much as in the beginning. In the beginning, I had volume 1, volume 2, you know. I still have the volumes with me. send.
It's funny to look back, isn't it? And all the things you used to send to, right?
I know.
And do you think that the lessening of the labels is just a more natural trust in the unfolding? Or do you think it's just like you worry less? Like, why do you think that's happened?
Yeah, you said it rightly, where I think now trusting in the universe, trusting in myself, trusting that whatever unfolds is for my highest good, the good and the bad. I have a lesser need to send labels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's the same with me. It's like, because I was like you in the beginning. I was like, every single thing, anything. It was almost like anything that I felt confused about or stuck, you know, do I make this decision or that decision or this or that? Ooh, where am I going? What am I doing? And I think that over the years, it's almost like there's less need to know what I'm doing. Does that make sense?
Yeah, a lesser need to control, I guess, for me. Mm.
Yeah.
Right? And allowing that process to unfold.
Yeah.
I think that has changed with my relationship with Reiki. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. That's a really interesting point. Because in the beginning, I was using Reiki as a way of kind of getting what I wanted.
Right. We had the power. Why not?
Oh, if I send Reiki then. But then you also learn. And I think that's part of the trust, because I'm sending Reiki. And even though we say at Reiki 2, don't have any, you know, it's like for the highest good. If it does, it might not happen the way you want it to happen because it's for the highest good and all this kind of thing. But even then, when we're writing labels, we're kind of hoping for a certain outcome.
Mm.
But then as you move, as you journey with Reiki, you realize with hindsight, and I think this is something that maybe is more historical, because the longer you use Reiki, the more you can look back and see, okay, I didn't get that, or I didn't get that at that point, or I really wanted this, or I really wanted that. But actually, when I look back, the way it turned out was really for my highest good. And it was an unfolding that was important.
If I look back at my labels and what I've gone through, I would say that at least 90% have come true. And at that time, I might not expect it to unfold in that way. Right. But that's where I realized also how powerful labels are, because the words that you write can mean one thing for you, but can mean something else for the universe. You know what I mean?
Like what?
Like, for example, if you say, okay, I'm willing to release whatever is no longer serving me. And you think about maybe personal things, or you think about, you know, my addiction to caffeine or things like that, right? But it could be around people. It could be around, you know, a job. It could be around something which is not on your radar.
Yeah, got you. So when you're sending Reiki, it's like you might have a certain intention in your mind, but then the energy opens up into a completely different way. Yeah, I've definitely had that experience.
Right. Yeah. But when you look at the label, yeah, it was something that maybe no longer served you, but it wasn't what you had in mind.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's something I realized about writing labels and, you know, what I wanted versus what universe had in mind for me.
Yeah. So how do you see Reiki in that respect? Like, do you see Reiki as an energy that helps you to trust more or release or relax more? Like, is it really like the universe speaking through you? Like, what's your interpretation of what Reiki is at the deepest level?
So the way I see it now is that, you know, okay, I'm going to explain this in terms of the human level versus the soul level. Mm. And I think the human level has a lot of ego, materialism, and a one-track mind about how things should unfold. Whereas when you send a label, it is really addressing it at that soul level. And no longer at that human level. So it brings you things that, you know, that human level may not expect, or may, no, that's not what I meant. Can I retract, you know?
But yeah, delete. That's so true.
But I guess to a certain level, the soul knows, and that's why the soul prompted that human to request for something at that time.
Mm.
Yeah. So I always see the soul as a wiser sage who knows what to do, when to do, and what is needed. But the human side of things, the human side of me, yeah, wants a different path.
Yeah. Which makes sense, right? Because our humanness wants comfort and security and, you know, that kind of control. It doesn't mm-hmm. want things to be uncomfortable, and it doesn't want to have uncomfortable emotions. It just wants, it wants all the pleasant things and not the unpleasant things.
Having said that, sometimes it is not the unpleasant stuff. It could be even better stuff than you bargained for. Yeah. And that's when I realized that sometimes I am limiting myself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So like, for example, how my career has unfolded, or how opportunities have opened up for me. Yeah, I've been very blessed that it has unfolded in better ways than I envisioned.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't always say that it's unpleasant or negative. So that's why I say for the human side, we have like a one-track mind. This is how we think. But sometimes it's like, oh, yeah, I didn't know I could do this, or I didn't know this opportunity existed.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So it's good and bad.
Nice. And so going forward, like, what are your thoughts about the way that Reiki is unfolding, the way that you see it? Like you said before, that you really enjoy just carrying on with the Asui tradition and the attunements and stuff like that. And obviously there's a lot of growth now within Reiki. You've got online, you've got people like me saying, oh, just do the attunement yourself, don't worry, you know, all that kind of thing. So how do you feel, like, within the space yourself? Is it more for you about just holding that sacred space with the attunements, or do you feel that there's I don't know. I don't really know what I'm asking. Do you know what I'm asking?
Yeah, I will just share what I interpret of your question. Mm. I would say that yes, it is evolving, and you would have different schools of thought.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. I find that there would always be students who are ready for your style. Yeah.
Mm.
So I have stopped comparing, basically. I just go back to what I believe and what sits true for me, rather than to compare what is out there. Yeah. So some people might say, oh, she's not growing. Yeah, she's not embracing what's the new stuff and things like that. But I guess I always ask myself, what sits well with me? And even if I do know what's going on out there, right, if it doesn't sit well with me, I choose not to.
Yeah. You know,
because I have to be authentic to myself. And I realize that it's okay to be different, or it's okay to be the same, because there would always be people who would resonate with your vibration, your energy, or, you know, resonate with what you are offering. That's why we always have somebody for somebody, life partners, right? Imagine if everybody just wanted one person in the life, the rest of us won't have partners.
Yeah. And I think it's very true what you say about the Reiki as well. It's like, there's something so beautiful about the attunement process, you know? And so for me personally, I love the fact that there's now more choice, you know, for those who really want to go their own way, it's accessible. For those who really want to experience the sacredness of a personal attunement face to face, there's that, you know, there's all the different levels. And it's a little bit like, all the different styles of Reiki as well. Like, some of them are even more traditional than the way we teach, right? You know, with a lot more ritual and a lot more of the Japanese influence that has stayed with it as it's come down. And for some people, they love that. It's like the ritual of the tea ceremony, you know, it's like so intricate and so like I would say long-winded, but then for someone else, it's like, oh no, it's so beautiful. It's such a beautiful unfolding to have to sit there. And so having that breadth, I think is amazing, because then hopefully you open the Reiki portal, whatever you want to call it, the Reiki vibration, to more people, because more people will be attracted that wouldn't necessarily want to do it the traditional way, right?
Yeah, exactly. Well said. Yeah, I mean, as long as, you know, the energy is done with respect in the right way, I would say that, hey, any style works.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, and, you know, because the world has changed so much, I do also do attunements online. And I find that for some people, they are sensitive enough to feel it.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I get amazing feedback from my online stuff. But I feel it too. Like, I can feel when an attunement has a really strong connection with somebody. It's like they're in the room with me. Like, there's so much energy coming out of my body.
Yeah. So, I mean, we have moved on to 5G, fiber broadband, and things like that. I think Reiki has evolved as well.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Well, it is part of the evolutionary process, isn't it? Like when you think about if Asui is accurate in his description as universal life force, another way of saying that would be like the evolutionary life force, or just the movement of life as it expresses, whether that's through us or whether it's through a plant or whether it's through an energy source. It's like it's constantly evolving. Really?
Yeah, and don't forget morphic resonance. The more people are tuned, the more the Reiki the more energy it gets.
Yeah, amazing. Amazing.
It is, isn't it? Right?
Yeah.
So it's so common now in Singapore for when you say, oh, you do Reiki. Nobody actually really asks now what is Reiki, you know?
Mm.
Yeah. I mean, some corporate people still do, but I mean, a lot of the oh, you do Reiki. Oh, yeah, I do Reiki too. You know, it's like, okay, everybody, you throw a stone and you would hit someone who does Reiki.
That's so cool, isn't it? And do you think there's ever going to be a place in the corporate world for like businesses to start bringing in people to teach Reiki as part of their corporate training?
Well, I believe that many corporate people know Reiki, but they may not be so advertised like, oh, I'm doing yoga or I'm doing, you know, breath work. I think that's more acceptable.
Yeah.
So, but when I do ask people, when I do share with them, then they, oh, yeah, I heard about it. Oh, yeah, I know somebody has done Reiki before. So I think many people do know or have learned it, but it's not so widely spread in the corporate world. Yeah, right. But in the healing modalities, I mean, or I say the medical side, I recognize that there are people who complement, like for example, acupressure or acupuncture, chiropractic treatments and everything with Reiki as well.
Yeah. So it's growing more in the medical rather than the corporate, like stress, mindfulness space, because surely in the corporate, it's the mindfulness space is growing as well, right? Like that's become more acceptable now than it was however many years ago.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Definitely. Sound baths are picking up in the corporate side. Breath work, sound bath, yeah. That is like, you know, now so, so common. Yeah.
So do you think that Reiki is kind of, because Reiki's been around longer in a sense.
Mm.
So do you think it's lagging? Can we say it's lagging because of the attunements or because it just feels a bit woo-woo? Like, why do you think that hasn't caught on the same way?
Okay. So this is my view, which I may be very, very wrong. I think some people still associate it with religion.
Oh.
Or because of the religion, they choose not to dabble into Reiki.
Right.
Yeah. So I've had friends who really are really sick and going for operations, or even their kids, you know, very critical conditions, and I've offered them Reiki and they said, no, sorry. Yeah. I mean, thank you, but no Reiki.
Mm.
Yeah. So
interesting.
So I find that a lot of people who reject Reiki or are not welcoming, it's because of religion.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah, it's funny how these little flavors, right? They kind of get stuck and then it's like, well, what do you do? Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Who knows? Who knows where it will go? But I do think the opening, I mean, I don't know. I think the fact that more and more people are kind of tuning into the energies as a more natural resonance, you know, in terms of Reiki, just being available. It's just the life force that's available around us.
Yeah.
I think that's a really interesting avenue to explore, because that opens up people to, you know, things like forest bathing or going to the ocean to get your negative ions and get that. It's a similar kind of idea, right? But I guess sometimes the laying of hands gives it that kind of slightly religious ideal.
Because, laying of hands and, things like that. Who are you to lay hands?
And even the attunements, like put your hands together in Gasha, it's like, oh, why am I praying? It's yeah, people can be funny, and I get it, you know.
And that's why whenever I teach them any aspect of Reiki, I also bring in that scientific background, or I teach them what's the purpose, like left and right brain hemispheres, the elements, So I go back to all these different aspects so that people who have a very strong religious background, they know that it's not because they are praying.
But I mean, I remember back to the day when I went to Reiki 2. This is going to sound so hilarious, but when I went for my Reiki 2 class, I didn't realize there were symbols. Like, I just thought it was advanced Reiki. I had no idea, because there wasn't internet. Like, there was nobody talked about it like they do now, and there wasn't the information. Like, I think there was three books published on Reiki when I did Reiki 2. That was it. And so I went along to class, and then they started talking about symbols. I was like, what the hell? Like, what am I? I just entered a cult. So I do understand. Like, at the time, I was horrified. I couldn't believe it. I was like, oh my God, why did nobody tell me that there were symbols? What is this? But then, to be fair, it was like, just like you, I became obsessed with them, because I started, the more you use them, the more. And I think back then it was very unconscious, but it was almost like I knew I was tapping into something bigger than me. I just knew it. It was like, okay, this is something really powerful. I could feel it in my resonance, that this is really powerful stuff. But yeah, I remember when my teacher started drawing these symbols on the board, I was like, what is happening?
And that's why whenever I start Reiki too, right, I always tell them that, any kind of symbol has energy. I say, it's why I always tell them, when you're on the road and somebody shows you the third finger, it has energy, right? And they can totally relate, and then they relax.
Yeah, exactly. Or when you see the golden arches of McDonald's, you immediately want to go
Exactly.
and eat like hamburger. It's a reflex.
Oh,
I need hamburger. Oh my gosh. Listen, my dear, it's been so lovely to chit chat with you. Is there
Starbucks.
anything else that you'd like to say? I will leave down. Do you have like a You got website details or something, if people want to connect in with you? I'll leave those down in the little blurb.
Yes, definitely. Yep, I'll share
Especially
that
if they
with
wanted
you.
to come, like if they wanted to come and experience a Kundalini class, Kundalini yoga class, or partake in something that you guys are offering at your lovely new center. I think that would be really nice for people.
Sure,
And
thank
you're
you.
like East Coasty. You're in my favorite area of the whole of Singapore, honestly. Like, best location ever. I love that.
It is a treat to just walk along the streets.
Yeah, right. Go do your class, and then go and like eat.
Yes.
Every proper Singaporean's like true passion, food. Oh dear. Well, listen, it's been so lovely chatting with you. And yeah, thanks so much. Thanks so much for taking the time.
Likewise. Take
Yeah, take
care.
care. Bye,
Okay,
everyone.
bye.